This will be the last section we study, fruit of Holy Spirit. How many different kind of spirit are there in the world? How many different kind of spirit are there in the world? How many?
Two.
Two. Okay. Any other answer? Huh? How many different kind of spirit? Two? Okay. Any other answer? Huh? Four. Anybody? Three? Okay, somebody. Two, three, four, right? Multiple choice. Anybody agree? Five? Okay, let's count. Huh? The first, God is spirit, right? And the second is, if there is God, there's another power. What's that? Satan is a spirit. And then? Huh? And then what? Angel, right? Angel is a spirit, right? Angel don't have physical body, but angel does exist, so it's a spirit. And the last one is we human beings, right? So the book of James say the body without spirit, what kind of body? It's dead body. So when the spirit come back to the body, what that? It's resurrected. Oh, just like a Nazareth, right? Oh, so we have four kind of different kind of spirit. Out of four different kind of spirit, how many of the spirit will really go into a person? Four different kind of spirit. How many different kind of spirit can really go into a person? Two.
One.
One. Two. Any other answer? Three. Oh, okay. One, two, three. Angel is a spirit, right? But the spirit of angel will not come into us. Angel is a spirit of serving God. And also angel receive command from God to serve human being. So in the book of Hebrew, everyone, God has ascended angel to protect us, right? So this spirit will not come into us. The second spirit will not come into us is human spirit, right? When our spirit came out of our body, then we die. As soon as our spirit come out of our body, where our spirit going? There are two places. One is paradise. So today, Jesus Christ told the robber, right? Today you will be together with me in paradise. Another one is Hades, before the final judgment. That's our common understanding. Then after the final judgment, then there will be heaven and there will be hell. And the hell has a burning fire forever. So when a person pass away, you look into a person physically, it looked like a person, but the real I, the real person already left, because the real person is not a physical body. The physical body is only a tent. When you go to a very beautiful scenery, right, you pitch a tent there, live for a few days. But when the journey over, then you dismantle all the tent, right? You come home. The tent is only a house for you, a place for you to live. So physical body is only a place for the soul, the true I, to live. So when we die, our physical body is still there, but the true I already not there. So if we bow down to the dead body, that means actually we did not really show the respect to that person already. The person already left. But in some of the occasion, you will hear that a person seems can say some voice exactly like another person. Right? That is the work of evil spirit. So two kinds of spirit will come to us. One is Holy Spirit, another one is evil spirit. When the evil spirit come to us, come to a person, not us, right? The person will be possessed by Satan. And the expression, the feeling, and the work of the evil spirit is all negative, all in darkness. Nothing positive comes from the evil spirit. But Holy Spirit is the spirit of God, and God is spirit. Actually, Holy Spirit is God himself. So what does the fruit of Holy Spirit means? If God really abides in us, and then the person will have a certain expression, a certain transformation. If God really fully abides in us, our life, our character will be transformed according to God's divine nature, according to the deity of God. And that's called fruit of the Holy Spirit. Our life will be transformed. So the person who filled by the Holy Spirit, and that kind of life actually is a manifestation of God's divine nature. And actually is a manifestation of the character of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ is a manifestation of God. The mystery of God is Jesus Christ. So how can we have the character of Jesus Christ? Let us fully been filled by God himself, which means filled by God's spirit, filled by God's words, filled by God's love. And then we will transform ourselves at the likeness of Jesus. Now, we come back to Galatians chapter 5. We already studied a few, right? The fruit of Holy Spirit is love, joy, and peace. Peace means tranquility, peaceful. So, some of the people ask, can a Christian listen to the rock? Yes or no? Rock music? Yes or no? That all depends on your preference, right? Anybody like to listen to rock? Rock and roll? Raise your hand. And one day I drove a car to San Diego on the middle. I saw the four or five of the youths sitting in a convertible, jumping up and down, almost jump out of the car. And that music is so loud, rock music. People like that kind of stimulation. But if we look into the fruit of Holy Spirit, it's peace. Peace means what? Very peaceful. Tranquility. So a person, if he really filled by the Holy Spirit, I think you are not like rock. Not because you should not, but because the nature of the Holy Spirit is tranquility, is peace. It's different from the nature of rock and roll. It's different. So a lot of things, it's not because you should not, you cannot. It's because when God abides in us, our feeling, our nature have the same with God, with same with Jesus. So we just don't feel like it. So if we don't feel like it, then you will never feel spiritual life is a sacrifice. Oh, because I want to be godly, so I sacrifice, I don't listen to rock and roll. No. When you are filled by the Holy Spirit, you have inner peace and inner joy and inner sweetness. So you just don't feel like the taste of the rock and roll. If you don't feel like it, you will not feel that you are sacrificed anything because you don't like it. But if you really like it and you should not do it, then it becomes a sacrifice, right? So to be a Christian actually is very free. You are a person of freedom. And number four is long suffering. 1 Corinthians chapter 13 is talk about love. Bible explained love, the most complete explanation of love is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Nobody will be able to explain love more than what the Bible says. Why? Because the Bible is the words of God. So God inspired Paul to write down what is love. So 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4, the first expression of love is what? Chapter 13. Verse 4. Long suffering, right? Long suffer and kind. Okay. And then when the Bible talks about love, what is the last characteristic of love? You look into verse 7. Bear all things, believe all things, hope all things, endure all things. So the beginning of love is endurance. The end of love is endurance. So if a person who has love, he will go through long suffering, endurance, perseverance, and also end up with perseverance. So this is a sign of love. Let us look about two examples. The first example is God's love to us. The most profound expression of God's love is Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ's expression of love to us, the highest point is crucifixion. So crucifixion means drinking the bitter cup. How many different kinds of suffering did Jesus suffer? How many different kinds of suffering did Jesus gone through in the crucifixion? 1, 2, 3, 4. How many different kinds of suffering? You don't know. As a human being, how many different kinds of suffering? When you come here, do you suffer? When you come here, do you suffer? No? Some people prefer suffer because I'm at home, I have on my own mattress, right? Right now I sleep on the floor, I suffer, right? First suffering is physical suffering. The second suffering is what? Somebody abuse you verbally, right? And you suffer, right? Wrongly accuse you, then you suffer. This is second suffering, right? How about the third kind of suffering? Sometimes as a worker of God, we are assigned to some of the location to help the holy work. Some of the location even may be very beautiful in scenery, right? And people are very nice, very friendly. And we are supposed to rejoice that kind of life, right? But when we look into the church situation, everybody's face look warm, a lot of problem. You know, physically, environment is good, people are very friendly, but we suffer in our spirit. That's another kind of suffering. So Jesus Christ suffered on the cross physically. He had gone through crucifixion. Before the crucifixion, what happened? They beat up the back of Jesus. It's just like a plow over the field. All the back of Jesus had been terribly beaten. How painful it was, it's hard to imagine because we had never gone through. If you step on the nail, how do you feel? It's so painful, right? Can you imagine the thorn? Hundreds of thorns, 3 to 5 inches, and peer inside the skull of Jesus. How painful it is. It's hard to imagine. They use the whip to beat the back of Jesus, and each whip with two ends and connected with a metal. And the whip beat into the back of Jesus, and that metal just catch into the skin of Jesus. And then when they pull back the whip, it's just like a plow over the field. It's so painful. It's hard to imagine, right? But that's not the end. Later on, they push Jesus on top of a cross. A big nail penetrate two palms of the two sides. And they collect Jesus' 2 feet together, and third nail penetrate the 2 feet together. That kind of pain we have never gone through. And then they erected Jesus on top of the mountain. All the weight had to be sustained by the 3 nails. 2 nails on the palm, 1 nail on the feet. And every time when Jesus wants to have a breath, He had to pull his body up. Can you imagine how painful it is? This is physical suffering. However, Jesus Christ endured. Why? Because Jesus Christ came to the world with a mission. He wanted to save people out of sin. And according to God's law, the only way to save people out of sin because of blood, shedding the blood. And he is a righteous person. Only the righteous person is qualified to shed blood for the redemption of other people's sin. So this is a physical suffering. The next one is mental suffering. Jesus loved the disciple to a point. He was waiting to die for them. But Judas sold Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And then even Peter denied him for 3 times. One day, if you love a person so much, you want to get married a person, right? And the day before the get marriage, and the person said, "I don't know you." How do you feel? Your heart will be broken, inner bleeding. You will fall into depression, right? One day you see your beloved get married, but you are not the bride. You are not the bridegroom. How do you feel? Your beloved get married. You are not the bride. You are not a bridegroom. How do you feel? Your heart is broken. So Jesus Christ, the heart is so agonized. The last one is the most terrible one. He was forsaken by God. In the spiritual realm, God is light. In the spiritual realm, God is love. And Hades is the place there is no God. There is total darkness, and there is no love. Right? And he suffered. That's called love, long suffering. And after we receive the baptism, our sin been washed away. You know, Jesus still suffered, long suffering. Why? Because so many times we know it is wrong, but we still do it intentionally. Because to fulfill our own lustful desire, before we are self-centered, we don't want to sacrifice ourselves. And so we can't astray from God. And God feels so painful. Why? Because God loves us so much. God knows that if you can't away from him, the end is not good. And so many people have so many problems. The fundamental reason is because what? They have gone astray from God. So long suffering is the fruit of Holy Spirit. If we are filled by the love of Jesus Christ, we have that kind of heart, compassion to other people, and waiting to help other people to receive salvation, and waiting to pray for other people. So that kind of long suffering. You know, prayer, kneel down for 30 minutes is not easy, right? Just like you practice fasting prayer, it's not easy too. But a lot of time we pray for ourselves because we love ourselves. One day, if we are waiting to fast and pray for somebody, you fast for one meal. That's totally because we have love. If we have no love, there's no way we can fast and pray for other people, right? So long suffering is a sign of fruit of Holy Spirit. It's a sign that God abides in us because that's the divine nature, long suffering. Only when God's love feel upon us, right? Then we can have the character of long suffering. Even we suffer, we never complain because we know what we are doing. A lot of people, when they suffer, they start to complain, right? Because they don't know what they are doing. If we know what we are doing is very meaningful, if we know what we are doing can really please God, and then when we suffer, we just keep quiet because we know what we are doing. So when Jesus Christ was going through the crucifixion, he just kept silent. He did not defend for himself. He did not even say one word. The Pilate was so astonished. How come you don't want to say anything? You're so quiet. And he was wrongly accused. Why? Because he knew what he was doing. So he suffered to the end. And when he suffered to the end, the last utterance on the cross is what? The last utterance on the cross. You don't know. The last words Jesus spoke on the cross, what's that? Last word Jesus spoke on the cross. Hey, I think you should study the Bible every day. Finish. Right? Finish. Salvation has been accomplished. Suffer to the end, so salvation has been accomplished. So a lot of good work. Just like you want to bring somebody to the church, right? At a lot of time, we have to suffer. You know, pray a lot for them. God, open your heart, right? God, let them experience you. God, help them to resolve their problem so they can experience your power. Right? When we endure and pray and pray and suffer to the end, then we see, oh, the person received Holy Spirit and the person received baptism. So love, one of the fruit of Holy Spirit, long-suffering. It's very important. Without the spirit of long-suffering, actually, we cannot accomplish too much for God. Right? So a lot of time, we serve God only for a degree of convenience. Can you pick it, which brother and brother? Oh, yeah, because it lives just close to my next my street. Oh, convenience, so I can do it. Of course, even convenience, we can do it still better than even convenience, you are not going to do it, right? Oh. But one day, if somebody say, the church council say, oh, we have some brothers, right? A little bit farther away from you, but still nobody can pick them up. Now you have to drive extra 10 minutes. Then you are still waiting to do it. And that is really, you have love because you endure that kind of inconvenience. So the more inconvenience we want to do it for the church, for others, the more we demonstrate we are a person who has the character of long-suffering. We are filled by the Holy Spirit. So long-suffering is very important. The next one is kindness. And then after kindness is goodness. Let us think about it. What's the difference between kindness and goodness? What's the difference between kindness and goodness? Kindness and goodness, English is your mother tongue, right? Mother language. You should suppose no better. What is the difference between kindness and goodness? Kindness is the attitude we have to other people, right? Very kind to other people. And goodness is the inner quality, inner quality. There's no evil inside. That's called goodness. So these two have a very subtle difference. Kindness is attitude to others. Goodness is inner quality. Now, you know, a lot of people, when they talk, they are very kind. When they can understand the situation, they always give a benefit of doubt. Very kind, all right? And kindness also, when we speak some to others, people always say something very gracious to others. Can you find out one of the characters who speak very gracious to others, especially to those who are in difficult times? Who? Bible character, very kind, very gracious to other people in his speech. You cannot find anyone? Hey, you need to study the Bible, right? Read the Bible, once a chapter. Boaz, right? I will give you the name, right? Tell the story, how Boaz was so kind in his speech. To whom? Boaz speak to whom? Ruth, yes. At that time, Ruth was a widow. The husband died. And Ruth's father-in-law already passed away. And Ruth, together with mother-in-law, moved back to Bethlehem. And two widows, they have no means to live their life. In the Old Testament, there's a male-dominated society. If a person loses a husband, he almost loses the social status. And it become poor and no social status. And this kind of person, and it's happened that Ruth one day went to a field, tried to pick up some kind of leftover, that kind of harvest, right? And Boaz happened in there. So is that coincidence? Ruth go to the right place at the right time, right, and meet the right person. And Boaz was there. And Boaz so kind to him, to her, right? I know all your good works, right? Now, you can pick up the leftover harvest, right? And I already commend my servant to provide you food. And then say a lot of good words, kindness. So when Ruth heard about the Boaz treat her and speak to her so nicely, I think Ruth must be very touched, even shed tears. You know, when a person in the desperate or in a very low condition, person are very sensitive to other people's love. Even you say a word of kind word, they were so touched, even in, and they cannot sleep, so moved. So this is called kindness, our attitude to others. The other side of kindness is what? Very critical, very harsh. When they speak words, are very critical to others. Only pick, a lot of time pick on other people's shortcoming. Very critical, very negative. When they say things, are very negative, very mean. So when God abides in us, means we have the fullness of the Holy Spirit, the way we treat other people will be very kind, just like Jesus Christ treats us, very kind to us, even though we are nothing, even though we have a lot of shortcomings. We don't know, we sin against him a lot, but God is so kind to us. Now we look into one of the examples, talk about the kindness of Jesus Christ. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah chapter 42. Verse 3. Isaiah chapter 42, verse 3. Start from verse 2. When you pass through the water, 42, verse 2. He will not cry out, nor raise his voice, nor cause his voice to be heard from the street. Verse 3. A bruised reed he will not break, and smoking flax he will not quench, and he will bring forth justice for the truth. Actually, this talk about a servant of the Lord is Jesus Christ. Verse 2 talk about Jesus Christ, very quiet person, a peaceful person. No quarrel, no arguing, no raising the voice. This is a fruit of what we just mentioned, peace. And then verse 3 talk about Jesus Christ's character is very kind. How come very kind? A bruised reed, he will not break. What does a bruised reed? You know the reed, right? A branch of reed sometimes can be very tall. But because of animal passing by or a strong wind, a blow on that, so the wind sometimes will break. But it's not totally broken yet. It just bent over. And it's bent over, sooner or later, the reed is going to dry out. And usually, when the gardener taking care of the garden, right, when the gardener see the bruised reed, what a gardener to do? Cut it off, right? If you cut it off, the whole bunch of weed will look better. But if you let one of the broken weed hanging on there, it seems unmatched the beauty of the whole bunch of the weed, the weed, right? So what does that mean to us, reed? What does that mean to us? A lot of people, they are really get hurt. They are so-called belong to the weakest party in the society. They cannot compete with other people there, right? Either physically or mentally or academically, they are always belong to a lower class. So a lot of people, they just don't care about this kind of people. But to the Lord Jesus Christ, Jesus Christ is so kind to them. When they pray, Jesus listens their prayer. So this is all kindness. And how about the next one? Smoking flax, he will not quench. You know, when you have a birthday party, right? Or some kind of party, you put a lot of candle. Or each candle have a very beautiful light in the evening. But only one of the candle almost extinguished, right? The fire cannot burn. And almost a little bit fire dip on. And what are you going to do? A lot of time you just take this out and put a new one, right? So some of the people, their heart is so weak. Their life is so fragile, right? So weak, so fragile, their life almost finished. And then Jesus Christ will make their life become stronger. I know you probably heard a sister's testimony. The sister was baptized, I think, in 1980s, beginning of 1980s. And she left church for more than 30 years, left the church. And she had a depression. One day, there was a voice asked her to go to the bridge, overpass the freeway, and she tried to jump down, commit suicide. And then there was a person who hold her hand, a police, and handcuffed her and sent him to a mental hospital. She was crying there every day for about 10 days or 2 weeks, and they released them. So this sister's heart, the spiritual life, is almost like a light, a candle light, almost was going to go off. It's so weak and suffer from depression. I think and later another sister reconnect with her and bring her back to church. And after she came back to the church every day, she read the Bible and pray for 4 times because she already retired. Anytime when the anxiety start to attack, and then she start to pray, God help me, God help me, right? After prayer, about filled by the Holy Spirit, and then anxiety disappear. And she started a Bible study, the positive thought from the teaching of the Bible came into her heart. So gradually, the depression just gone. She discontinued the medicine, only relying on prayer. And many times, when she come to the church, she saw the glorious light. And she saw the angel flying on top of the pulpit when the worker delivering the sermon. Right now, she is almost 80-90% totally cured. Why? Because Jesus Christ was very kind to her. It's almost like a light almost died down, but Jesus Christ gives some life to the light. So her spiritual life right now revive again. And then later on, this sister knew another sister have depression. And the sister visit her and every day call another sister to a Bible study over the phone and pray together at the same time. And that sister who is in depression, right now the doctor say your depression about 65% recovered. So our Lord Jesus Christ is very kind. When we are filled by the Holy Spirit, filled by the divine character of God, we will be very kind to other people. That's a fruit of Holy Spirit. When we speak words too mean, too critical to others, a lot of time it reflects. Even we receive the Holy Spirit, we are not filled by the Holy Spirit. So we are not transformed by the character of God yet. The next one is goodness. Goodness referring to the inner quality of a person. No evil inside. Now let's look into two verses. James chapter 1. This is what we read before. James chapter 1. James chapter 1, verse 17. Can we read together? Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and come down from the Father of light, with whom there is no variation in shadow of turning. Anything come from God is good. Anything come from God is perfect. And anything come from God is light in their no darkness. So what does that mean? That means if we are filled by God inside us, we will become a person have the likeness of God himself, and no evil inside. Only goodness and only perfect and only light. So when a person filled by God himself, the person will become a very positive person because only light, no negative. So it's a wonderful. So the Bible gives us a lot of so-called positive thinking. If there is God, anything have a way to resolve it. If there is God, all the darkness will be gone. So this is called goodness. And then there's another story talk about goodness. Can you think about any, talk about goodness? One day, Jesus' disciple having meal without washing the feet. And then the Pharisees saw that the disciple of Jesus did not wash the feet. What did the Pharisees ask Jesus? Why your disciple having meal without washing the hand, right? And Jesus used that opportunity to teach the Pharisees, because Pharisees emphasize a lot of outer purity. Of course, when we come to the church, right, you have to wear a more close knit of the clothes, right? That show our godliness to God. That's good, but godliness, most important part is not what kind of clothes you wear. You know, when you go to Africa, right, Sunday, they attend the service, everybody wear white color. Why? Because they consider white color is what? Holiness. All right? But that kind of outer cleanness is good, but more important is inside. So Jesus Christ used the example to teach the Pharisees. The food coming into the body will not defy a person. If you eat the bad food, then what? You're running stomach, right? After one day, 2 days, running stomach, and you finish. But something come out of our heart will defy a person. What's that? Something come out of our heart will defy a person. What's that? Pride, jealousy, arrogance, right? Hatred, adultery, bitterness, right? All these kind of things are harbor in our heart, and we will express from our speech. If we are more educated person, if we are more civilized person, we will use a more civilized tongue to express our bitterness. But in reality, the content itself, no change. The only change is outer, package. So it looks better, it feels better. But when it reaches to a person's heart, they are defiled. So kindness means a person when they speak, goodness, a person when they speak, the content of speech is full of what? Edifying words, full of light, no darkness, full of spiritual stuff, which will edify other people. That means the person have the fruit of Holy Spirit because person filled by God himself, so the person can express the divine nature of God, goodness. Can you find anything wrong with Jesus Christ? Can you find anything wrong with Jesus Christ? If we are holy inside, right? He will never speak something filthy. If we have love inside, we will never say a word with no love, right? If we are just inside, we will never say words unjust. So our words will express something in our heart. So goodness, not only the outer words, goodness is a reflection of inner being. So the Bible says, if our words is blameless, then we are perfect person. How can it possible? The words is blameless, you are perfect person. Because words represent the heart. And all our life issuing from our heart. Goodness is the fruit of Holy Spirit. Number seven, faithfulness, the fruit of faithfulness. Now let's look into one verse. 1 John. 1 John chapter 3. Chapter 5, 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. 1 John chapter 5, verse 20 and 21. Can you read it? And we know that the Son of God has come and has given us an understanding that we may know him who is true, and we are in him who is true, in his Son Jesus Christ. This is the true God and eternal life. One verse talk about three times of true. He is true, and we are in him who is true, and his Son Jesus, and this is the true God of eternal life. Verse 21, little children, keep yourself from idol. Okay, verse 20 is good enough. So Jesus Christ is true. In him, there's no falsehood. So whatever he say is truthful. So that's called faithfulness. Right? Faithfulness means whatever we say, we will do it. So our words become trustworthy. It's reliable. We have a good so-called credit, right? Some people, when they speak, you have to give what? Discount, right? 30% discount, 40% discount, because the word is not truthful. Sometimes a lot of boast inside. And faithfulness means very truthful, very reliable. And this is the character of Jesus Christ. He never lies. When he says something, he means it. When he says something, he will do it, right? That's called faithfulness, because God will not against his own nature. So whatever promise in the Bible, it will be fulfilled. Why? Because God is faithful. If God says something, God don't want to fulfill it, then God is not a faithful God. So the reason the Bible is reliable is because God is reliable. And his promise is reliable. It's called faithfulness. Number eight is gentleness. Gentleness means very meek, a person very humble, very meek. Again, the other side of gentleness is very hard, right? And very arrogant. The gentleness, Jesus Christ was very gentle. Even though he has a lot of power, right? He can command heaven, he can command the earth, he can command Satan. But in him, you can see he's a very gentle person. He talk in a gentle way, treat people very gentle. This is only possible through the fullness of Holy Spirit. Divine nature of God come to us, we will become a very gentle person. The last one, self-control. Right? Self-control means what? We live a balanced life. Without self-control, our life cannot be balanced. Now, in your age, you have your own way of balance your life, right? Besides your study in school, and come back, you do the homework, right? After you do homework, then you have to spend time to sleep, right? So you keep your body healthy. Then after you keep time for sleep, you still have spare time. Then you know how to balance it, right? Spend some time, exercise, spend some time to the church and to read the Bible, to pray. A balance that comes from self-control. The other side of self-control is what? Indulgence. You keep on doing something and without control and keep on doing the whole night. The evening don't sleep and the daytime don't get up. Just your lifestyle just reverse, and then it's not the fruit of Holy Spirit. Fruit of Holy Spirit is self-control. Of course, most evident whether you have self-control is well. When you go to all you can eat, how many food do you eat? That depends on where you are filled by the Holy Spirit, right? In order to satisfy your mouth, you eat so much and your stomach starts a stomach ache, then there's no self-control, right? Self-control means you eat to a certain degree, 80% fulfill, then finish, right? Self-control. But this is a trivial matter. And more important self-control is one day if we graduate from school and we start to work in the society, we know there are three important content of our life. One is Isaac moved to Beersheba. When Isaac moved to Beersheba, he did three things. What are the three things? First, he built an altar. The second, he pitched a tent. The third, he dig a well. Build an altar to call upon the name of God is a spiritual life. Pitch a tent is a family life. And dig a well to feed the cattle. Right now, it's a career life. So, self-control means we know how to control our career pursuit. It will not affect our spiritual life. It will not affect our family life. That's called self-control. If we really have a character of self-control, it will be that like Jesus Christ. Then our life will reduce the problem to the minimum. A lot of times, we don't use enough time in spiritual life, then our spirituality will have problem. If we don't use enough time in family, then our family has problem. So if we live a self-control life, we can ensure we have good relation with God, and we can ensure we have good relation with our family. Right? So self-control is very difficult, but it's a must. It's a must. So don't envy other people. They have a lot of income. Their living standard is so high. We have to envy, imitate those who really have a self-control. Even a lot of money to earn, even a lot of opportunity to be promoted, but they are waiting and they can say no. Why? Because I have self-control, filled by the Holy Spirit. Let's kneel down and pray.
Pray in the name of Jesus Christ.